Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. That was beautiful, Chandra. Thank you so much. You know, sometimes a lot of people ask you when you're going to come up here, if you're nervous, anxious. And, you know, I feel like I was more anxious than nervous every time. But to see everyone that comes up here and what they do and being able to play the piano, singing, you know, it's just, it makes it a lot easier, in my opinion. We could look at it two ways. We could look at it as, wow, they set the bar pretty high. You know, what? I don't think I could even come close to something like that. But then you could look at it as, wow, it's inspiring to see how other people are here working together for we all share that common goal. So last time I preached, I got some constructive criticism from good friends and family, which is a good thing. You know, they say, don't take constructive criticism from someone that hasn't constructed anything, right? They say that. But gracefully, you know, God has placed many great people in my life, and they gave me some recommendations. And I know just last Vespers, Juan actually told me, he came up to me and said, hey, Jordan, hey, where are you getting the information you're using for your sermon? And I said, well, you know, I'm reading books. I wasn't really being that specific. He said, yeah, but what books? What books are you using? And his intention was to let me know, be careful with all this information that you can Google or find anywhere because it may not be related to our message here. And I said, you know what? That's actually very important. So scratched off a couple of things that I did have because I couldn't find it that was actually specifically related to our beliefs here. So I wanted to be safe, and I changed it up. The only thing that I said to myself was, I wish I would have gotten this information a little sooner than before. Another thing, which I almost just did it, my family said, Jordan, stop looking back. You were giving your back to the congregation the majority of the time. And then a good friend of mine said he doesn't like PowerPoint sermons, but it's too late now. I'm sorry. I won't mention his name. Right, Rick? So, today, we'll be talking about the gift we should be giving. And we're going to elaborate more on this throughout the sermon. I believe that God has given us many gifts, and I do want to make sure that we distinguish one thing from another. We will be discussing spiritual gifts, and it's not the same as just any other gift, because I believe all of our gifts are God-given gifts, but not necessarily they're all spiritual gifts. So we're going to go ahead and talk about what a spiritual gift is. Spiritual, we're going to divide it because in the Bible it doesn't specifically tell us what a spiritual gift is, but it does tell us it does talk to us about spiritual gifts, but it doesn't really give us a specific definition of it. So if we just break it up per word, we see spiritual means things characterized or controlled by the Spirit. And if we look at gifts, gifts come from the word charisma or charismatic, which comes from charis, which means grace, which teaches us that they are gifts of grace, God's grace. Spiritual gifts may or may not match our natural inherited talents, which is something I wanted to specify. Abilities developed through education for a profession, which many of us have, or job skills developed in the workplace. Sometimes the Holy Spirit assigns gifts that match a person's personality profile, and sometimes not. It all depends on what ministry the Holy Spirit wants each to do. So it won't always be easy to determine what we're supposed to do, because a lot of times God will make us get out of our comfort zone and do something that we don't expect that we could actually do. The Bible, like I mentioned before, the Bible doesn't give us a specific definition of spiritual gifts. It illustrates how these gifts function. The New Testament presents spiritual gifts as operational tools for ministry in the church. The Holy Spirit assigns a gift or a mixture of gifts to individual Christians. The set of spiritual gifts assigned to an individual by the Holy Spirit constitutes the framework for that person's lifelong primary ministry in the church. The degree to which Christians put their spiritual gifts to work for the Lord depends on their commitment to discipleship and response to the Lord's call. So if we don't respond to the Lord's call, we really will never know. So the question we have to ask ourselves, because it's all of us is something that we should be pursuing, how do we uncover our gifts? How do I uncover my gifts? So number one is the obvious. It's praying. You must pray, pray, and pray. The more you communicate with someone, the more you understand each other, and the more you learn from each other. So another thing you could do is you can experiment being involved. So let's just give an example. Let's say if you don't know what job you would love to do, don't know what career you would love to have. Sometimes you have to have a lot of the ones you don't want in order to find the one that you do want, right? So within the church, we need to experiment more. We need to be a part. We have a lot of ministries here. So get involved with these ministries and see which one suits you the best, which one really has a place in your heart. Because even though everything is very important, there's a reason why we all have different gifts. It's because there's areas where God wants us to be. So in order for us to find that, we must be more involved with different ministries so that you can find your place. Because who knows what's in a gift given until it's unwrapped. So we do have to be aware of, what we would call the wrapping paper, right? You know, sometimes things may be shown to us in a certain way. God can also disguise our potential gift with chaos, with anxiety, with stress, until we actually make it there. All because God has placed a gift within you doesn't mean it's going to come out of you. You have to develop what God has placed within you. See, our purpose is our gifts. Our purpose of being here is to find our gifts, our spiritual gifts, and use that for the betterment of everyone else. That is our purpose to be here. See, knowing our purpose, which we mentioned were our gifts, knowing our purpose prepares us for eternity. And why are we here? We have been placed here to prepare for eternity. So, what's the purpose of the purpose, right? What's the purpose of our gifts? Seventh-day Adventists believe that spiritual gifts manifested in the early Christian church still function in today's church. Fundamental belief number 16 states, God bestows upon all members of his church in every age, spiritual gifts, which each member is to employ in loving ministry for the common good of the church and humanity. Amen. And humanity, that's very important. That's why I put that part in bold. Given by the agency of the Holy Spirit, who apportions to each member as he wills, the gifts provide all abilities and ministries needed by the church to fulfill its divinely ordained functions. So we have everything we need here to function the way that we should. So the reason why I put in bold the part where it says humanity, you know, sometimes we believe that what we do here, what we do in this small church, doesn't have an impact anywhere else. And I want to mention something. Those of you who were here during Harvey, we did what we felt what we were supposed to do. If we were here and we were available and we had the health to be able to help and help distribute here, then it was the right thing to do. That was what we had to do. And the reason why this is important to mention is, even though this happened here, those of you could remember that ABC World News was here. Not just the local news, but it was ABC World News. So the reason why that's relevant and how what we do here impacts other places throughout the world is that, does anyone here know how many viewers, average viewers, ABC News has, World News? Wild guess. Anybody? 2 million. 2 million? Anybody else? 5 million. So last year, during the time where they were here and we had the situation with Harvey, ABC was actually number one among a lot of the others, CNN News, NBC, etc. Their average viewers is 8 million viewers. 8 million viewers, guys. So by simply us doing what we were supposed to do, God made it, it took the advantage of the opportunity to create awareness that all we were doing was what we were supposed to do. And if any of those 8 million people could see what we did and said, you know what? You know, next time we have something happen like that where we live or close to where we are, hopefully we've inspired them to do the same thing and to help others as well. And that is the purpose of everything. When we talk about employ and loving ministry for the common good of the church and of humanity, it's important because we can't just focus on our church. We have to focus on everyone else as well. Spiritual gifts are not rewards for a job well done. They are the tools to do the job well. They are operational tools designed to accomplish assigned tasks for the advancement of the kingdom of God. It takes a new birth to energize a person with the Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. See, in the Seventh-day Adventist yearbook of 1995, pages 6 and 7, it says, when members employ these spiritual gifts as faithful stewards of God's varied grace, the church is protected from the destructive influence of false doctrine, grows with growth that is from God, and is built up in faith and love. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, which, thank you, Jennifer, for reading the scripture. I know it's pretty long. Many were thinking that. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills. So we're supposed to work together. But culturally, there's a lot of individualism. We're all out to strive for our own success in anything that we may do. But a lot of times we forget that we're all here for the same purpose. We're supposed to be helping each other. And what was happening in 1 Corinthians, this is important to mention. Many of the people were creating an atmosphere of chaos rather than order. So it basically got to a point where they were comparing each other's gifts. You know, it's funny how we think we're so advanced today. And you read the Bible, that's thousands of years old, and it's the same things happening today, and we think we're so advanced. We're not as advanced as we think. We're committing the same mistakes that have been happening for thousands of years. Number one, the Apostle Paul tried to correct the Corinthians who were using the gifts as signs of how spiritual they are because they were able to prophesy, speak in tongues, and perform miracles. Every individual seemed to be more concerned about their own personal edification rather than the edification or the building up of the entire congregation. You know, they say, we hear it a lot, every man for himself, right? We're not working together for our ultimate goal. See, the thing is, we focus a lot today on what we would say net worth. We're trying to always acquire, we're trying to grow as individuals, but we're not trying to help each other. And a common, important distinction is self-worth and net worth are not the same. See, real security can only be found in that which can never be taken from you, which is your relationship with God. Jesus said it, no one can serve two masters. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them in prophecy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So basically what we're being told here is our gifts are to serve God. And even though you may feel that your gifts or anything that you believe you were given as a gift, you may compare it to others and say, man, why can't I do that? You know, I feel like my gift isn't that important. But here's telling us we're all one body in Christ. If just look at our own bodies now. You take a certain part, you may think, oh, that particular finger wasn't that important. Lose it and you'll see how important it was. You're going to probably need it all the time. So it's important to remember that we are all here to work together. See, it's not enough for us to claim that we are living for God. We have to grow in our gifts so that we can display the glory of God. How will the world ever know how great God is if his people aren't doing what they are called to do? If none of us are doing what we are called to do, how is anybody else going to know how great God is? So, what stops us from manifesting or sharing our gifts? There are many things. We may not deem ourselves worthy. We may be comparing what we believe we're good at or what gift God may have placed in our heart. We're comparing it to others, and we just believe that it's just not important. Everything's important. You could look at everything that goes on in this church. Someone has to be over there in the control. We have our greeters. We have someone giving the Sabbath school lesson. We have the rest of the Sabbath school going on. If no one is there to do any of these things, nothing will function properly. It just won't. Everybody is important. You know, they say you don't know what you have, so you don't have it anymore. And once you don't have it, that's when you're going to start realizing how important it was. Another reason that unfortunately a lot of us do not live our gifts or manifest or share the gifts that God has given to us is because of fear. 87% of people allow fear of failure to outweigh their desire to succeed in something, right? Fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends for you to be. You must move against it with the weapons of faith and love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So when you're allowing fear, this is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, what I just read. When we allow fear to control us, then we have to ask ourselves, how strong is our faith? How strong is our love when we're allowing fear to control our lives? You know, long time ago, I read and I was driving by a church, and you know how we have these messages outside on the billboard or anything on the sign. And one of them said, it was years ago, it said, feed your faith and your fears will die of starvation. If you feed your faith. See, there's not much to fear if you have a lot of faith. But sometimes we're kind of hypocritical, you know. We say that we believe, we say that we have faith, but we don't really show it. We don't really show it, not to really to others, but to ourselves with our actions. Don't let fear rob you of God's gifts. See, you know, sometimes we're trying to search for perfection, but let's distinguish one thing from another. Excellent is not to be confused with perfection. Perfection is trying to be the best, but excellence is pursuing your best for God. So, we need to ask ourselves, what are the uses for your life right now that you haven't reached for yet? And I did want to clarify in the beginning that even though we're talking about spiritual gifts, that is not the only thing we've been discussing. It's also because in the meantime, let's just look at it this way. In the meantime, while you're still trying to uncover what your spiritual gifts are, you can still use your talents. You can still use the gifts that you know that you have, the ones that you have identified for the church and for others, to help others. So you think about the talents that you have or the gifts that you have, that you've identified in your life, and ask yourselves, how many people have I helped throughout my lifetime with this gift? Have I shared it with anyone? Do I value the gifts that God has given me? Have I come to realization of how important it can be in someone else's life for me to use my gifts and talents? When you don't have enough faith and love to act on your God-given gifts, unfortunately, sometimes the enemy will act on you if you don't act on your gifts. You know, we talk a lot, especially here with the health message, that we talk about a lot. We talk about how what we're eating is killing us, right? We talk about that a lot. Oh, what we're putting into our body is killing us. But you know what? Even though millions of people are dying by what they are eating, even more are dying by what's eating them. So let's remember to ask ourselves, are we living the life God has planned for us or the life that's been imposed upon us because we stopped developing our God-given gifts? So in closing, a gift well used is a job well done. This is a story that many of you may already know, but especially those who are from the military. But I'm going to start with part of the first part of this story. See, there was, most of you are, and bear with me, you'll understand why this is relevant when I'm done. Most of you probably have heard of Al Capone, the mobster from many years ago before the World War II. So there was his attorney. They called him Easy Eddie. Easy Eddie was a very good attorney. He was so good that he was the attorney for the mob. And they could never put them in jail. Al Capone and his mafia would never go to jail because this attorney was so good. Easy Eddie is what they called him. But one day Easy Eddie had a son. And God was working with him at this time because once you have a child, your perspective changes in life. And he realized that he had given his son everything because he was the attorney of the mob. He was making whatever money he wanted, he would have. They would give him a lot of gifts, luxury vehicles. He had everything he wanted. But he realized something that he hadn't given his son, even though he'd given him everything monetary, a great life to his son, he hadn't given him that example of doing the right thing, of using your gifts for good, for the betterment of the world. Not just for your own interest, which a lot of us do that today. So what did he do? He basically did what we call the ultimate sacrifice. He sacrificed his own life and said, the only way I could show my son, because his son is growing, is starting to see the bad publicity of everyone saying, you know, a lot of people already say that attorneys are the employees of the devil, which is horrible. They're not all like that, but people say that. So imagine someone that was defending a mob that was killing so many people. So what did he do? He said, the only way I could show my son better is I need to put the mob away. I need to contribute to put them in jail. Now, granted, he was the attorney of the mafia, and he knew that locking them all up was not going to save him. He was going to get killed. But he did it anyway. He went, and he was one of the main reasons they were able to lock them up, because he helped them put them on jail for tax evasion. That's all they could get him for, tax evasion. Just pay your taxes, guys. So they locked up all these mobsters. They all went to jail because he confessed against the very mob that he kept out of jail for so many years. He knew what was going to happen. A while passed, and Easy Eddie was driving down the road, and of course, some men drove by him with machine guns and killed him. Did that sound like Puerto Rican bullets, Tony? Close. They shot him, and there he lied on the ground, dead. But even though he died, what he did years later actually saved thousands of people. So years later, there was a gentleman, which our military folks would know this story. Gentleman, his name was Bush O'Hare, which is from the airport, you know the name, O'Hare Airport in Chicago, Illinois. It was named after this gentleman. So this gentleman, World War II hits. They attack Pearl Harbor. You guys are familiar with that story. There's 9 Japanese planes, warplanes, on the way to take down the USS Lexington. So Bush O'Hare, he was a naval pilot, and he saw these planes. And by himself, went ahead, got on his plane, rushed to fight these planes by himself, because he knew what was going to happen. Thousands of people were going to die. And he fought against these planes, was able to pretty much knock down 5 of them, ran out of bullets, and just kept charging towards them. When they finally realized, the Japanese warcrafts realized that this guy was crazy and he was willing to die, they turned around. The rest that were left turned around after he had dropped 5 of the 9. So by him doing that, he saved thousands of people. He was the first, if I'm not mistaken, from the Navy to receive a Medal of Honor. So why is this relevant that this man saved these people? It's because Bush O'Hare was the son of Easy Eddie. So why is this relevant to what we're talking about today? Someone many years ago decided to use his God-given gift to do the right thing. And by him giving his son that example of being willing to sacrifice your life to save others, many years later, his son did the same thing for thousands of people when he went out and fought those warplanes by himself, because his dad gave him that example. So the question we have to ask ourselves, because this is very important, even though we're sharing our gifts for everyone and not just for our family, what are we giving our children? We focus so much on financial welfare and the money our loved ones could possibly inherit, many times causing separation of our loved ones, fighting over possessions. But we forget the most important thing we can provide them is our example on how to prepare for eternity. So, is that a fulfilling life? Chasing the monetary possessions that all of us do. I'm guilty of it as well. We sometimes focus so much on the financial well-being. Is that what we want to leave to the world? Our values, our character, the grace and the compassion that love
That love that flows through us is the greatest contribution we could make to our own life, to our families, and to the world. When we have those values and we work together as one body in Christ, and we build that foundation, then we can have a wonderful, fulfilling, meaningful life. One day we're going to be in front of God. I'm sure he's going to ask us a lot of questions. If he asks us, what did you do with the gifts that I gave you? Think about, what are you going to say? What will your answer be? What will your response be? Did you use the gifts I gave you? Did you value them? Did you help others? What did you do for the rest of the people? See, for a long time we've been told that the end is near, and we know it's true. But near could be one thing for us. It could be a totally different thing for God. We may have a lot of people, a lot of lifetimes that are coming after us. Are we teaching our loved ones, that we are here to prepare for eternity and not just for life here? Just imagine for one second, there was a speaker that a long time ago, he was actually a minister, a reverend. He actually mentioned that the richest place on earth was not the gold mines, it was the cemetery. A lot of you have probably heard this. Richest place on earth was the cemetery. All those gifts that go with us. I'm sure God will find someone else to give those gifts to, because the purpose will always be there. But just imagine if you were just lying on your deathbed and all of your gifts that God gave you are surrounding you in your bed and looking at you and asking you, what happened? We were given to you for a purpose. Why didn't you use us? The world could have been so much better if you did, and here we are. Now we must die with you. All right, amen. Let me close in a prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you because you gave me the courage to stand before here once again and share this message that you placed upon my heart. Let us not forget what we've discussed here today. Please, let us not forget that we are all here to prepare for eternity. Amen. Now we will have our closing hymn, Jocelyn.